Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside hour two of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Yeah, buddy.
You know, before we get into some big stuff in the NBA, we got a lot of Aaron Rodgers stuff. You know, the Lakers are getting everybody. Was it too much today, you know, watching Olympic coverage? Because it's kind of fun. Like, I love Olympic coverage no matter what, because it's so soothing to just watch events that you really have no idea what they are on the TV in front of you, but mm-hmm. they're live and it's fun and you're hearing about such and such a person who, you know, picked up this sport when they were 13 and now at 15 they were in their first Olympics and now they're 24. And they're in their third Olympics. It's just kind of fun. But is it
too much? Or they're 46 and they're eighth?
Yes, exactly. You know, any of those. There's so many different stories. It's like an old way to do TV, like how ESPN used to do TV, where it was always, let's find the most crazy story about somebody personally mm-hmm. from an athlete, and let's put it on TV. Like, that was the thing. Let's find somebody. What about this star? What about this person? Well, let's see. His dad was a lawyer. His mom was a teacher. His grandparents were both lawyers, and he grew up okay. Was a star player early on. And you know, went to college and made it to the majors. Ah, that's boring. We need something else. Well, here's a guy whose dad lived in the Antarctic for the last 15 years and didn't even know he had a kid until there was a big explosion and he wound up getting these superpowers. Oh yeah, let's tell that story. I mean, like that's what the Olympics are made for, all these crazy stories. But would it be too much to ask for somebody who's not going to win, right? But just if you're in the surfing competition and you're not going to win, because it's just like anything else. You have the people that are favored for medals and people aren't going to win. Is it too much to ask just one of the surfers wear an ex-president's mask? Can we just get just one, just have him wear an ex-president's mask once to compete, just so we can have the Point Break fun? I mean, it would be awesome. Wouldn't it? You have somebody in a Reagan mask doing it, you know, just competing and surfing. And it'd be great. You'd be the story of the Olympics. Hey, I'm not going to win, but I'll cut big eye holes in the mask and I can wear it like that and compete. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Shouldn't there just be a competitor of the people? You know, for all the people that said, I'm a regular schmo, I could do that.
Mm. Yeah,
and then they could wear the ex-president's mask.
Okay, sure, and that's who we represent. I like something, and they could wear the because what it was a Reagan mask, right? A Nixon mask was.
Yeah, you got probably a Lyndon Johnson if I'm remembering correctly. You probably have to draw the name of which president out of the hat, otherwise it starts to become a problem, and folks will be reading into it. I think Jimmy Carter was in there, wasn't he?
I think Jimmy Carter was in there. What mask is this? That's William Henry Harrison. Great, I'll put it on.
I think that would be even better.
Right? Yeah, okay.
No,
I mean,
you want to get a history lesson in? Let's go.
Who's that? Are the mediocre presidents. You won't find our pictures on dollars or on cents.
Tell you what, add that to the fray of a presentation in the middle of your Olympic ceremonies, and, well, that'd get me to the front of my chair, let me tell you.
My wife always gets mad at me whenever we play a game like Celebrity or something, and there's always invariably there's a question like, okay, name as many presidents as you can in the next 15 seconds, go, right? And so you're working backwards and you're saying like, okay, Biden, Trump, Obama, Bush, right? I always go right to the Simpsons song for the mediocre presidents. I go, there's Taylor, there's Tyler, there's Fillmore, there's Hayes, there's William Henry Harrison. I died in 30 days. And she always gets so mad because my team always racks it right up because they'll name the other ones and I'll go Taylor, Tyler, Fillmore, Hayes, William Henry Harrison.
And start grabbing, yeah.
And she gets so mad. You're only doing that because of the Simpsons. I go, am I naming presidents? I'm not naming fake presidents. I'm naming real presidents, so I'm winning that way.
Would you rather I do it to the tune of the Albania song from Cheers? Either way, music is getting me to a victory.
You border
and the Simpsons
on
taught
the
us a lot.
Adriatic, your That's terrain right. is mainly. Now, before we get to this big story, speaking of the NBA, because we're going to get to the Lakers in a second, maybe this is what's happening with Aaron Rodgers. Why did Aaron Rodgers decide today, here the story breaks, that there's going to be concessions between he and the Packers that are going to allow him to go back and play for the Packers next season? He's going to get a little bit of control over personnel, play calling, whatever it is, and they're going to allow him to be traded after this year if he wants to still be dealt, right? So these are the concessions. How much of it is just, you know, boy, I've won once there, and it was a long time ago. You know, now look, Giannis just won. Guy goes to Chick-fil-A and suddenly becomes a huge deal. And they're coming up with all kinds of crazy things for him. I need that news cycle back. All right. So, hey, you know what? Forget it. It's been fun. Giannis is great. I need the news cycle back. I'm going to come back and play now because I'm kind of sick and tired of, you know, I've had 4 or 5 days now of Giannis. Now I'm coming back to play now. I'm kind of done with that. Giannis, you had your time. Now it's my time.
There is something to be said for not leaving the state as the number one guy, having been surpassed, even though you get a ring too because you're part owner. Right? Rodgers is part owner of the Bucks, so he's got that going for him. So I guess it's technically a second ring, which is why he was using all the we pronouns in his for those that were unaware, the we pronouns when he was hitting social media to congratulate the team. And what had been done was he actually does have some stake in it, and he can rub it in Larry Fitzgerald's face because he's still ringless. But the idea that you present, I like it. Look, I also think that we're probably 2 to 3 months from starting to hate Giannis like we did Steph Curry and the Warriors.
Oh, come on. The day after the guy wins, he takes the championship trophy into a drive-thru and orders, you know, 50 chicken tenders to go along with all 50 of his points. I mean, nah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, nah, but you missed the bit when he said, hey, why he didn't show up in the team photograph. He's just talking to his brothers and already thinking about next year.
That's how hard I worked, man. I'm already thinking about it.
It's like I like the humility and ego speech that he'd given a week ago Saturday, right? And I played that on Find Your Wins as a I like the cut of his jib, the old soul. But you keep playing that card too often, America will hate you. And sports talk radio and sports television hosts will hate you fast. Now,
look, but here's what's happening, and this is what you're missing out, is that he said, I'm not leaving Milwaukee until I win a championship. He's won a championship. Now he's thinking about the Knicks. And it's good. Look, listen, Julius Randle for Giannis, the money works. Everything is great. That's how it's going to be. Randle for Giannis, and now we move on.
You take a few days off, you hang out in Detroit and eat nothing but White Castle, and that's what it does to your brains. Kids, stay away from the sliders.
No, I actually had Coney dogs too. I mean, that Detroit makes a mean.
Well,
Coney
hot dogs is a whole other.
Oh, dude, Coney dogs are terrific, man. That Coney dog.
I'll take
awesome.
You down to Portillo's. You'll be
oh,
better.
My goodness. Oh, see now. See, in all the wins I brought the Tigers, no one even bought me Coney dogs either. Oh, man, I'll tell you.
You know what? I'll find some random address in Detroit to send you dogs from, and you'll be better. Look, someone sent me. Why does it look like Harmon's writing?
it's got a baseball card in it, too. No, it must be from Harmon. It's got to be there.
You said that like it's wrong.
No, I'm just saying that would be your telltale thing. Like, if you were ever a TV or criminal in the movies, like, your thing would be to leave a baseball card at every scene of the crime that you try to figure out. That would be their clue to try to figure out who you are.
It's got to be in the stats here somewhere.
That's you.
But wait, it's a new baseball card. There's no stats.
You don't want to look at this victim. Why? He's got a Ken Griffey Fleer rookie where his head used to be.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah!
Dun. Hey, that's coming back. We'll do week-to-week show breakdowns. It's CSI Returns with William Peterson.
What was the victim holding? Clenched in his hands, we opened up. It was a Cal Ripken 1983 Fleer with part of the jersey on it. Yeah! So while the NBA is now in its post, and we're going to have more on Aaron Rodgers coming up in about 10 minutes. While the NBA now is in its post year, we're getting ready to see how the offseason is going to shake out. The Lakers have now been linked with just about every single player who could wind up being dealt or hit free agency, whether it's Kyle Lowry. Nope, linked to him. Great. Lonzo Ball, linked him. Anybody whose name has come up, the Lakers have been linked to. All right. And this is not to say that the Lakers are going to get everybody. anybody. But for a team that we thought, it might be difficult for them to add to this team, look, they're only paying two guys, right? Everybody else they can say goodbye to, right? This is where every year it didn't work, we can completely redo this team. We don't have to sit back and say, well, we're going to bring back Caruso and Talen Horton Tucker's going to take a step up. No, this is with the Lakers and LeBron and Anthony Davis. It is what is going to be able to make a mixture that works right away, right? We're going to completely redo this. You're going to see a much different Lakers team next year. And the fact that they are being mentioned and they're in on a lot of these players tells you that it's not going to be difficult for them to make a deal, whether it's Kyle Lowry or somebody else. It doesn't matter. They're going to be able to get, there's going to be money for a third star, or depending on how else you want to make things work, they are going to get somebody else big. And it's going to happen. They could wind up with a couple of players making trades, because look, I give Rob Pelinka a lot of credit, because for all the flack he got, he's a guy that pulled off a trade for Anthony Davis where it was the only team he was supposed to go to, and the Pelicans had him over a barrel, and still I traded a couple of guys and I got Anthony Davis, who won the championship. The Lakers are getting somebody huge, and I don't mean, oh, they'll get a third player like Dennis Schroeder. No, they're going to get somebody really big, and it's going to happen, and it's going to be a combination of, here's, you know, Talen Horton Tucker's contract, or here's this and here's this and here's that. That's how it's going to happen. They're going to have money. They're going to make it happen. It's just a matter of who. But you don't have to worry about, Laker fans don't have to worry about going to bed going, oh, are we going to say it's this third guy and then it turns out to be a trade for Jeff Teague? No, it's going to be huge. They are getting somebody big because, like we talked about last hour on the show, NBA players have the power, right? Aaron Rodgers sweated through, it's going to be 2 years of I want out before he's going to finally get to walk out of Green Bay. Whereas players like James Harden and AD can say, I want out, and 2 days or 2 months later, they're getting out. If players want to go to the Lakers, they're going to get to the Lakers because it's going to be the network of whether it's Clutch Sports and other agents' representation. If I want to get to the Lakers, I will get there. You will find a way to get me there because it's a players' league. And all of these, the Lakers, the fact you're hearing them in with all of these players tells you they're going to get somebody really, really big. Likely a guard that's going to be able to take some of the pressure off of LeBron James, but they're getting somebody big. Look, it could be Colin Sexton. It could be, you know, you could go anywhere. It could be Lonzo Ball coming back. All these names, the Lakers have been linked with every single one of them. They are getting somebody big. It's just a matter of who it is, and that's what this is a fun part about being a fan, is that every day you can sit back and go, boy, this guy would be great. Boy, this guy would be great. Boy, this guy would be great. We're getting one of them. It's like when you sit in your fantasy draft, you go, boy, this next round, I would love it if one of these three guys were there. And then you get to that point like three spots before you and you go, oh, they're all there. We're going to get at least one of them. And you're so excited. You're thinking, is it going to be this guy or this guy? That's what Laker fans are like right now. They're going to get somebody big.
Well, I mean, we've seen how many reports of KCP and Kyle Kuzma have been offered to pretty much everybody in the league.
Yeah.
You see how quickly that'll turn things into gold for you. Keep working. But it's the idea of Chris Paul. You mentioned Lonzo Ball. You've got DeMar DeRozan basically saying, please, figure out a way to bring me to town. And the thing for the Lakers is they don't have a ton of guys under contract, which is good and bad, right? And in terms of tradable assets, which means, you know, a Talen Horton Tucker, you end up working a deal. We've talked a bunch about sign and trade kind of scenarios to make stuff work, even with Schroeder to that point. Because Magic Johnson was the most vocal critic. In between telling you about his workouts in Greece, he let you know how he felt about Dennis Schroeder during the playoffs. So you look at the opportunities, and I think for the Lakers, and it's not just our producers Rob Guerra and Justin Frostberg hashtagging future Laker on all these stars. No, legitimately, these guys could become Lakers. Because even Chris Paul, right, as much as that may get dismissed by some, maybe he wants to give it a shot, and it's worth going and opting out of his deal and maybe not maximizing his cash, you know, since he's made a ton as it is. Never to get into a man's bag and tell him what he should do. In that regard, you know, you can always want more, right? The Montgomery Burns. Yeah, Smithers, I'm rich. But you know what? I'd trade it all for a little more. So it's that kind of idea here when we talk about guys with longevity in the NBA, right? Maybe he wants to make up for what Stern didn't let happen all those years ago. Run with LeBron, and for LeBron, it'd be one of the guys that perhaps he'd be willing to work off the ball a little bit more. Because that's one of the concerns going into the next phase of the post-Space Jam 2 era is, will he be willing to go down and work on the low block and let someone else, you know, bring the ball up? Hell, we've seen Russell Westbrook's name brought up. Come back to Westwood and come hang out here in Los Angeles. Whether that would work or not, I don't know, but it would be great.
Oh, that'd be
theater.
Awesome. Are you kidding? In the final minute of a game with LeBron on the wing and AD down low and Russell Westbrook just powering his way into the lane and throwing up an air ball. Sign me up for that. Let me see that a couple of times.
Yeah, I don't know that it'll be able to work, but in this time slot, you and I, 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Pacific, we'll have our feet kicked up watching the theater. No question about it.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. So the Lakers are getting somebody. It's going to be somebody big. And trust me, it's happening. It's just a matter of who. And like I said, likely a guard because that's where they really need the help the most. But they're going to get somebody. It's going to remake the league because if people want to get to the Lakers, they're going to get there. It's about connections. It's clutch sports. It's how it works in the NBA. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. Jason and Mike, coming up next, the one thing that I really would like to understand about this Aaron Rodgers situation, that admittedly I still don't. I still don't understand. I want to understand this, but I still don't. That's next right here as I take off my glasses. Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Welcome home, buddy.
Back with the Bengals, walking like an Egyptian, like they did back in 1984 with this big hit.
I think you're a little early, but that's okay.
84? No.
87.
87 for Walk Like an Egyptian? Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, because Mark Gastineau was in the video. And he was still there. Yeah, 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 yeah. 86, 87. Now is Walk Like an Egyptian. You are right about that.
Number one song of 1987, according to Billboard's year-end chart.
It was the number one song, Walk Like an Egyptian? Really? I wonder what that would be met by if it came out now. People still be – or they go, whoa, I don't know. I don't know about that song. I don't know. What does that mean? I think.
Well, I don't know. We're still playing it now. It hasn't been defeated yet.
No. All right. As we haven't canceled Walk Like an Egyptian yet. All right, very nice. So, we have a big story out of the NFL today that we're going to get to in a second. But in baseball, we got two big things that are starting to percolate. One is the rumor mill for trades. Max Scherzer apparently is on the block, and after that crushing loss by the Nationals tonight, which they allowed the Phillies to walk off, maybe Scherzer gets traded a little bit sooner.
They got swept over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean they're
by the Orioles.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and I'm waiting, you know, because the funny thing was there's a guy that wrote a baseball column for CBS Sportsline that he's talking about. When the Nationals are playing good enough now, they're going to pass the Mets for first place any day in the National League East. I'm like, yeah, I'm waiting for that day, buddy. No, instead we're going to get Max Scherzer from.
You got swept by the Orioles.
Yeah,
and I love my friends in Baltimore. I've been doing a spot in Baltimore for about 15 years now. One of the first regular radio spots that I've done in my career, very good to me all these years. But even they're not, they mock the Orioles. They're on the flagship of the Orioles, and they mock the Orioles.
Now, listen, so we have that, and we also have the latest drama going on with Trevor Bauer. Whereas, according to reports today, that a lot of Dodgers players don't want him back with the team. His leave was extended as the case involving him and alleged sexual assault with a former sexual partner is unfolding. And the Dodgers have not said anything about him. There's not been a lot of word. Look, there's been a lot of silence. We thought this was going to get a little more clarity very soon. However, the defense Trevor Bauer said, well, we were ready to go, but now new things have come up, and now we need time to deal with them, so it's going to be a little bit longer. Now you're talking about getting into August, and Bauer's going to have to eventually take the stand, which he's going to do. So this is not ending anytime soon. But, you know, look, we told you from the beginning, the odds that he's thrown his last pitch as a Dodger were just growing every day. And, I mean, now there's no way he can come back to the Dodgers, especially when you hear that, hey, the locker room, the players don't want him back after what's going on here. It's kind of like the Deshaun Watson situation in Houston. If it's resolved, okay, it's resolved, but is he still going to be able to come back and pitch? This story gets off the rails really quickly. It's rough sex. It's something that he admitted that, yes, I did these things, but she consented. Wait a minute, that's still potentially a crime just because she consented. So it's not like there's a denial and there's two sides. We're waiting to see how this comes out. No, this was something that he admitted to, the injuries that the woman got, and that's a big deal. And it's the same situation as Deshaun Watson. I say not from the, because Deshaun Watson is saying he's innocent and he didn't do any of these things, and the other side says the opposite. But the fact that this is part of it is that, yeah, this was consensual. Okay, that's a big red flag for suddenly, okay, someone who has admitted to be doing this, can they come back? There's certain things you can come back and can't come back from. And Deshaun Watson can't come back to Houston because there's too many things have happened. And how does he come back and play quarterback even if this does get solved? It's the same thing really with Trevor Bauer. How does he come back after what's gone on? And so if this winds up getting resolved at some point, Trevor Bauer is just going to not pitch for the rest of this year. And either the Dodgers, who you know they're going through his contract saying, okay, can we get out of this? Do we still owe him two more years and $35 million a year on this? But at some point, there's going to be we are moving on from you. And I would have to think that in the offseason, if we get to that point and Bauer is still a Dodger, that it's going to be, okay, here's where we're parting. And whether there's some kind of buyout, whether there's some kind of agreement, whether there's some kind of loophole, whatever it winds up being, Bauer's going to have to go play somewhere else. He's going to have to go someplace and get a fresh start. And quite honestly, he could wind up being in a situation like Ray Rice, where nobody touches him and says, okay, you know what? No, we don't want to sign you. Because Ray Rice, you had the video. And Trevor Bauer, you have the admission that, yes, I did these things, but this was with her consent. That's a pretty big deal, especially now in 2021. He might not be a guy that ever pitches again. At his best case scenario might be he doesn't pitch the rest of this year. Then he sits out 2022 and he does some personal image, and this is if it goes okay for him, and he sits out and he does some personal rehabilitation for a year, and then someone else can say, all right, we can give you another chance depending on what the landscape looks like a year from now. I mean, that might be his best way back, but he could end up like Ray Rice, where Ray Rice played and, okay, this happened, but I'm making amends and everything is all right. My wife and I are still together, and it still doesn't matter because nobody signed him.
Yeah, I mean, it still goes back to teams having to decide amongst the front office, amongst the guys in the clubhouse, from the coaches to the players to the, you know, a clubhouse attendance. Everybody's in there. Obviously, different levels and degrees of voices that resonate and have an impact, but certainly that's part of it. And then you have the fans, you know, the folks that are buying the suites. You know, don't tell me there's not informal polling going on out there as to what it means in the larger scale, because you don't know what there could be another shoe to drop one way or the other, right, in this Trevor Bauer situation. I know the Dodger players during the All-Star game festivities were all asked about it, and, you know, they were just talking about needing more firepower for the second half. Right, Walker Buehler, right, quote, I know right now it looks a little bleak in the starting rotation, but Andrew's never been afraid to get guys to help us. I don't want to talk about him. It is what it is. It's out of my control. We'll strap it together, put it together, whatever we have to do to win. Right now, I wouldn't bet against us. Chris Taylor, obviously a lot that's up in the air. We're going to need more than three starting pitchers. Go trying to keep it on the field. Justin Turner, others all comment. But that's about as much as you've heard from any of the players until these last couple of days. Now you're hearing, you know, the whispers of really not looking to welcome him back in. And maybe it's leanings of family members. Maybe they've got a little more insight to what goes on. As you say, the knowledge that he's saying, hey, this was consensual, and look, I've got proof that, you know, she came back a second time, and then what's the next in that timeline before this became, you know, the issue it is now. So it's the curiosity and how much, you know, where people's own sense of the physicality and where lines are drawn versus the legality. You know, where is that line? Is it blurred? Because, you know, we talk about a lot of things, and one of the big NFL stories is about vaccination and coaches and players speaking out and all. And remember, you've got the right to seek employment. Doesn't mean anybody's got to provide it. And this is the same thing. Even if by all technical rules of the game and everything that's been agreed to, Trevor Bauer would be able to pitch, doesn't mean the Dodgers want him necessarily back on the mound, no matter how good he is, or that any other Major League Baseball team would take that on going forward.
You know, and it, when it comes down to it, it's going to be, and this is, you know, it's not about optics, but certain things are deal breakers, right? Like when the video came out of Ray Rice, like that was it, right? That was it with him, and you knew things were done with him. And the fact that Bauer's always going to be that guy who, even if it comes out it was consensual, this is something he did to a woman. Right. Let's just say everything goes Bauer's way. You know, everything goes Bauer's way and it happens and he winds up getting cleared. He's still the guy that, boy, this was, you know, violence against a woman, even though it was something that was consensual. That's a hard thing to get past. Right. That he did this and it was something that was consensual. So, you know, look, and there's many people that enjoy very different kinds of sex that, you know, look, it's a world that I don't know a lot about. Now, I'll be honest with you, but, you know, it's still a very difficult thing to get past, and certain optics and certain beliefs and how people are seen, it's really hard to get over that. So that's why it's going to be hard for me. I mean, look, Trevor Bauer really can't pitch for the Dodgers again after this. And it's just now, where is he going to be able to pitch again? And where is it going to be? And is he going to have to sit out time? Like, that's kind of where this is going right now. So I, you know, when you hear the Dodgers say like they want to keep it on the field, because that's the safest place to do it, right? They don't want to weigh in on something that, hey, this is a legal issue, and this is for everybody else to talk about. For us, we got to concentrate on baseball. So for us, it's going to be, we got to get another pitcher. Right. We got another pitcher coming in here, because, and it's not like we have to replace somebody who's here. So we don't have to feel bad talking about a guy that, you know, if you're next to a guy in the locker room, we got to get some starting pitching in here. Hey, I'm right here. I know I gave up 8 runs in 3 innings tonight, but I'm standing right next to you. Dude, you stink. We got to get a new pitcher in here, man. I mean, this is, hey, we're replacing somebody we had, and it's not somebody in the clubhouse. It's hey, let's go out and get somebody. So they'll have all those kind of conversations, because after they want to keep that, because the other part, like I said, it gets really dark, and it's at a point where you wonder just, okay, is he going to pitch again, and not like, and not about here in LA, but it's, is he going to do it, and where is he going to do it?
Yeah, organizationally, right, if we go across the pantheon of sports and go all the way back, you mentioned Ray Rice. That's the game changer, right? Because it's one thing to read it in black and white. It's another thing to see it. And it's another thing to see it again and again and on local news to the national morning shows and becoming a bigger debate. And obviously, it's a storyline and a type of story that should have been getting more attention for a long time. But it's certainly front and center here as we go through 2021. And the Dodgers do always have the luxury of mountains of cash, a ton of prospects, and the ability to move on from signing mistakes, whether it's performance or in this case where it becomes a personal transgression or something, whether it plays out legally against him or not, where they can make that decision and move on easier than virtually any other team in the game, right? So, you know, you're also looking for the other teams across Major League Baseball that, again, if it from a legal side, it goes his way, that might be willing to take a shot, given a little bit of a cooling down period, and also not being one of the front runners whose wins, losses, and pitch count for the relief pitchers are broken down ad nauseum like the Dodgers, right, the last couple of weeks. Oh, Trinan only went seven pitches, and they went to Jansen, and then Jansen blew it. That became a national story, right? I mean, we talked about it on air. Obviously, we're located in Los Angeles, so it became a big deal. But when you take it out even nationally, it's like, ooh, the usually impenetrable Dodgers. Now you got the Giants. Now you got the Padres. A little bit angsty. You got issues in the rotation, plus the Bauer situation. What are they going to do? We'll talk trade deadline, et cetera. They become a much bigger part. And, look, you're always trying to go after the team that's atop the food chain. And right now the Dodgers get that extra shot as well.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. You know, I watched a lot of the water polo tonight.
Yes.
I watched United States game against China earlier, the women's game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so distracting because they blow whistles every time there's a infraction, right?
Yes.
There's lots of fouls. And what it is when they blow the whistle, I'm going, oh, my God, they're blowing the whistle all the time. And they're blowing the whistle, and all it does is when they blow the whistle once, it tells the defense you have to back off.
Mm-hmm.
And play continues. So you're hearing a whistle like every 8 seconds, and then when they blow the whistle twice, then with another whistle, then there's an infraction that means there's a penalty, you go to a power play. But you hear a whistle like every 8 seconds, just tells the defense to back off.
All the time.
Can you imagine if we did that in the NBA? Oh, my goodness, that'd be awesome. Whistle, no, just back off. Defense, just
yeah,
back
there's
off.
A problem.
Let the guy get a shot.
Well, that's
Let
one of the problems here in the Olympics is guys aren't playing defense. And they're looking to the official going, where's my foul call? It's like, yeah, wait, that's not Scott Foster.
They're not finishing off on offense either. They just kind of stop.
And you know what? And there needs to be an official who is like an underwater official that looks for fouls, because they show the video from the underwater. It's like, underwater, they're getting kicked and grabbed and scratched. Yeah. Like, there's all the fouls. You can't sit here up above and be like, hey, everything. It's like a duck. Like a duck is just calm and cool, but it's paddling like hell under the water. You need to have referees under the water to go, hey, these are big, bad fouls, man. Yeah. People are getting kicked. But this is terrible. I'm not going to call it.
I'll tell you, Jason. In years of covering college water polo, men's and women's, you see the players after games, just their bodies are shredded in terms of just scratches everywhere. Guys would wear a couple of suits because they'd be ripped off. It's a violent sport, but it's fun.
It is.
Next level stuff.
I just couldn't tread water for that long. I got to tread water. Oh, yeah, I'm done. I'll tread water for about 10 seconds. I'm done. Forget about the fighting and the swimming and the throwing and all that. Oh, no. I couldn't do that. No.
Yeah, but now I got rugby in the rain.
No,
the U.S. team playing now. So we got next level stuff. I mean, all the violent over-the-top games. I love it.
Since I have to give the latest.
Yes.
Sorry, Mike. They lost that game. The U.S. lost that game.
Oh, wow. Oh, there you go, Mike. Ralph just saved you from having to
You know
watch.
What? I'm going to go back. I'll see you in hell.
You've got to buy a ticket. Jason's already got them all.
Well, there's something about monopolizing. If there's a secondary market, I'd wonder what the tickets go for.
And then you'd have it authenticated and sell it in the next market.
You're damn right.
The other thing I was watching today that was really interesting was I think it was on USA I was watching. They had an interview with Jessica Mendoza. They're talking about the women's softball team that plays for the gold medal in like 8 hours, right? They play at like 4 a.m.
7 and, Eastern, yeah.
Yeah, so they play pretty soon. And so I forget who the host was, but the host was obviously not a sports person, because they have the host doing the highlights of the game from 2 days ago against Japan. And the highlights are, and here's so-and-so who's the cleanup hitter, and that means that they clean up the bases, and here's a hit, and that cleans the base of third base of the runner who scores. And I'm going, oh, my God, who wrote this for this person?
That would be Catherine Tappan, who...
Was that who it was, Catherine Tappan? Okay,
not a in the games had an interview with the guys who do beach volleyball, and mm-hmm. at the last Olympics in Rio she did the sideline reporting for beach volleyball, and she literally said on the air, thanks for helping me in Rio. I didn't know anything about that sport before I started covering it.
That's all right.
That's a good hire right there.
You know what though, I learn on the job. Show the aptitude and willingness and fire in the belly to get to perfection. I love it.
I, I go back to the Tracy Morgan line from 30 Rock. I don't know anything about this topic, but I have strong opinions. Let me tell you.
wait. Isn't that sports talk radio and sports television?
Well, no. He was on Sports Shouting. Like, they made a show called Sports Shouting, and it was just the four people in boxes, and they were all just screaming about sports. And you know, they ask him a question. He goes, you know, I'm glad you asked me this, because I don't know anything about it, but I have some strong opinions.
And art imitating life.
It's a cleanup hitter because they clean the bases up and the bases get cleaned from this runner on third base. I'm like, oh my good. Jessica Mendoza had to be sitting there going, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. We got more Olympics on the way. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. But coming up next, one of the biggest stories in sports the last few days is actually something that shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. It's next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
My guy.
Happy Monday. Happy Monday night and Olympics Monday. And we got some more Olympic stuff on the way in a few minutes. But look, with all going on with Aaron Rodgers the last few days and or today and Deshaun Watson, one story that has dominated the last few days has been the fact that Oklahoma and Texas are going to wind up heading to the SEC in college football realignment. And it was a shocking story when it happened. I'm like, and I'm saying to myself, boy, everybody is, why are you shocked? All right, you knew this was going to happen, okay? John Calipari's 4-16-team super conferences is on its way now, all right? We're going to have four. We're going to have the SEC, the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Pac-12, which will be the ACC, the SEC, the Big 16, and the Pac-16. It's how it's going to go, and all the schools from the Big 12 are going to get snapped up by the Big 12 and the ACC. It's all going to happen. This is how it's going to go. Of course, once playoff expansion got put on the table, and that looked like something that was going to happen, whoever the specific group that has been getting extremely rich over the course of the past 20 years because there's no expanded playoff, you knew they were going to try to do something to move things around a bit. And now suddenly here we are. Hey, we're going to get a playoff. Oh, now Oklahoma and Texas are leaving for the SEC. Wait, what? Wait, what? It's no coincidence that that story broke about 2.5 weeks ago, that we're looking at some kind of playoff that is going to expand, and now we're getting Oklahoma and Texas want to leave to go to the SEC. It's all coming hand in hand. I can't think of a sport that has been more anti-progress than college football has been. Hey, we have more teams, more playoff games, more revenue, more money, more. No, we're gonna keep it down because we need people voting. I mean, really, there is no sport that has stopped progress more than the people in charge of college football. And I don't understand. But this is inevitable that eventually this push was going to get to, let's get to more money, let's get to more everything. And now you're seeing these dominoes fall with Oklahoma and Texas. Eventually, we're going to get that 4-16-team conference, 2 8-team divisions. The winners of those divisions play, and those champions go on and play in the playoff. I mean, we're just moving towards, it's going to happen.
Yeah, I got a couple of quick things off this. The I'll cite the vows that a friend of mine wrote for his wedding. You know, they were good folks. We knew Duke fans, but beyond that, they were great. Out in upstate New York when we lived out there. And I'd always kind of said, there's no reason. We're never going to get married. And then he opening line of his vows were, like water erodes rock. ... Here we are. And so same thing here with college football, college sports. Progress is slow. We've seen movement, right? Penn State joins the Big Ten. Okay, no, you know, leaving another conference, but you had Nebraska and Colorado left. A&M goes to the SEC. That, you know, they're crying, saying, you guys – pinky swore you guys wouldn't allow another Texas team in. No, they're bigger. They have more money. And they'll move the needle. Right now, Greg Sankey could run around yelling, "I'm the captain now." If I thought I could Photoshop his head onto the Captain Phillips scene and make money off it, I'd be selling shirts tomorrow, because he is the godfather in this whole scenario now. And now it's just a matter of crossing T's, dotting I's, and deciding when play begins and seeing who picks up the scraps. Does it just become the Big 8 again, or do we see the merge with the Pac-12? Where's the Big 10 and all this? No, it's great theater. This is the next part of it, and something actually happens, as opposed to the months and months we spent on Rodgers and Wilson and all those guys, only to end up right back where we started. It was like we were in an alternate universe in Marvel.
Oh boy. Do I have the best Marvel potential spoiler? Not spoiler, but something incredibly interesting that I found out that I'm going to tell you coming up next. I mean, this will blow. It blew me away when I saw it. And it's talking about the importance of somebody that could be absolutely huge in the MCU.
The
alligator? You brought that up. Not the alligator. Not Loki. No. Alligator versus Baby Yoda. No. It's something different. But look, Oklahoma, Texas leaving, this is inevitable. Coming up next, why Aaron Rodgers perpetrated a fraud on all of us. This is Fox.